Well, I understand this seminar has created quite a buzz here this weekend. So, all right. So as we tackle this tough issue, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray you shine your truth upon the things that we cover today on this very important issue. Help us to approach it with love, with integrity, and with truth. Lord, may the truth presented today reflect the truth that you want communicated to your people today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to cover a lot today. Everything that we cover is on our radio show website here at evidenceandanswers.org. Okay, so you can cover this talk. You can listen to this talk that we're covering, but also listen to some great interviews that I have on this topic with some of the top cultural experts out there. We've got Glenn Stanton from Focus on the Family, who's written and speaks on this all over the world, and Garrett Hallweg, he's a top psychiatrist, okay, speaking on this issue, and others, okay? And if you want, Glenn Stanton, of course, is the guy that I've learned a lot from on this topic. He's with Focus on the Family. He is speaks a lot on gender issues and is coming out with a book specifically on this issue. And one that I've read several books, and the one that I found most helpful, most readable, most right to the point, gets right to the issue, is this one, Ryan Anderson, okay, When Harry Became Sally. Okay, there's few books out there on this subject. A lot of it has journals, but this is one of the most readable books on this topic. He's not coming at it from a Christian perspective, but he's presenting a lot of good material very quickly in this particular book, okay? Now, America, we're in the midst of what is being called a transgender moment, okay? Not long ago, most Americans had never heard of transgender identity, okay? But just a few years ago, it became a cause of civil rights and now has come, you know, to the forefront of our culture today. And today, any failure to accept and support a transgender identity amounts to racism or bigotry. Okay, we're told that not treating people as the gender they claim to be is racism, okay, or discrimination, right? Now, this is a key issue for our culture today, and we are in a major culture war here for the very soul and future of our country. And we've already redefined marriage, okay? And marriage is the oldest institution created by God, okay? Not by man, but by God, all right? And it's the foundation of any culture or civilization. You change the definition on that, no culture has survived. Can you look what's going on in Europe, okay, and things. No culture has survived that has redefined the definition of marriage. That's the oldest institution, okay, created by God. Now, when that happened, I was running around the country saying this is the worst it gets. When we don't know what a marriage is, okay, it doesn't get any worse than that. Well, I was wrong, okay, because now we're having trouble defining what is a man and what is a woman. Okay, and male and female are expressions of the very image of God. Okay, so the transgender issue now is an attack on the very image of God. So marriage is an attack on God's institution. Okay, the transgender debate now is an attack on the very image of God. Okay, what's next? Well, it's going to keep getting worse. Okay, and this is what Satan seeks to destroy, right? Two foundations of any culture, God's institution and God's image, okay? Now, in coming to this issue, we've got to define some key terms, all right? And here are five key terms that I'll be using that you'll have to understand what they are in this whole debate, okay? The first one, sex. Sex is defined as your biological makeup, okay? Or, you know, it's been labeled now what you are identified is at birth, okay? But sex refers to your biological makeup. Gender now is being defined according to the American Psychological Association, refers to attitudes, feelings, and behaviors that a given culture associates with a person's biological sex. Behavior that is compatible with cultural expectations is referred to as gender normative. Behaviors that are viewed as incompatible with these expectations constitute gender nonconformity. All right, so to put it very simply, sex is what is between your legs. Gender is what is between your ears. Okay? For the first time in human civilization, well, for the first time in American civilization, we have separated gender and sex. Okay? It's not been done before, okay, in Western civilization. All right? In every society, gender has been connected with sex. All right? It's the appropriate expression of your sex. Okay? So what has changed today is that gender is not attached to sex. You can be sex male, but gender female, okay? Or sex female, gender male, all right? Because remember, sex is what's between the legs, gender is what's between the ears, okay? Sex is what you see, it's empirical. Gender is what you feel, it's subjective, okay? And for the first time, we've separated those two. And there is a movement now that wants to say your gender is your true identity and your sex is a cultural manufactured construct. Okay, so now we're turning the tables upside down now, but that's the movement now. Okay, your gender, what you feel you are, is your true identity. Sex is a cultural construct here. Okay. All right, gender identity is a person's self-perception, okay, whether they're male, female, and now we have multiple categories, right, X, trans, what else do we got? We got numerous categories now, but gender identity is the perception of what you believe you are. The American Psychological Association defines gender identity as a person's internal sense, okay? So it's subjective, being male or female or something else, okay? Gender dysphoria is when someone experiences distress, inner anguish, or discomfort from sensing a conflict between their gender identity and their biological sex, okay? So when basically they are not comfortable in their bodies, okay? That's gender dysphoria, okay? A mismatch between their biological sex and the gender they believe themselves to be, okay? Those with gender dysphoria feel that their body is lying to them, okay, and believe that they would be better or feel better, okay, as the opposite sex, okay? And there's a wide range of gender dysphoria from mild, you know, to severe. Okay, and people who identify as transgender, okay, and there's numerous studies on this, report disproportionately higher rates of mental health problems than the rest of the general population, including depression, suicide, and strong thoughts of suicide. Okay. And finally, transgender. Okay, this is an umbrella term for the state or condition of identifying or expressing a gender identity that does not match a person's genetic sex. Okay? Now, how common is transgenderism? Well, we're not sure of the exact number, but the Williams Institute at the University of California estimates that 0.3% of the population is transgender. Okay, and as society becomes more, quote, the new tolerance, as they begin to push the new curriculum that's coming out now, most likely this percentage will increase. Okay, now, how did we get here? Okay, to the point where we're not able to identify what is a man and what is a woman? Well, 2015, okay, is a significant year. Okay, that's when Bruce Jenner, okay, the model of masculinity, all right, 76. Those of us who watched the great decathlon champion revealed his struggle with his gender identity and transformed himself into Caitlyn Jenner, okay, and won many awards for, you know, his courage in making that public. Okay? Now, the message to the world then became clear. Men can become women, okay, if they feel or perceive themselves to be women, and vice versa. Okay? And the event catapulted the transgender topic from something that was obscure, okay, to one of the most fashionable issues of social justice today. Okay? And shortly after 2015, the Supreme Court redefined marriage, okay, and made it a civil rights issue, right? And advocates of the transgender issue jumped on the bandwagon there, okay? And this also then became a civil rights issue, okay? And so now it's highly politicized here. And they're trying to make the change through political means, all right? One of the reasons is they know they can't win the debate medically, okay, or psychologically, or scientifically, all right? So they're going to win it politically. And that's why it's such a politicized issue now, okay? And then later, the Obama administration redefined sex to mean gender identity in our nation's civil rights laws, okay? And then they imposed these gender identity policies on schools and healthcare providers, okay? Now, before 2015, okay, before Bruce Jenner, there were some dangerous ideologies already dismantling the moral foundations of our culture, okay? We live in a post-Christian culture where a new moral system is replacing the Judeo-Christian ethic. Christianity is not viewed only as irrelevant, it's viewed as dangerous, okay, and bigoted and racist, all right? It's viewed as now dangerous. Okay, you're no longer one of many worldviews out there that compete in the arena, okay? You are now the bad guy, okay? And it's an ideology that really needs to be stomped out, all right? And that's why a lot of your high school and university kids may feel that animosity on the campus, whether it's said or it's not. Okay, and the most influential sectors of our culture now, the academia, media, entertainment, okay, they're no longer increased by biblical principles, because often those who occupy those arenas are not sympathetic or often opposed to biblical principles. The whole idea of relativism, there is no absolute truth or no meta-narrative, okay, no grand story for how to view the world. Okay, denies then there is a right way to see the world. Everybody has their own story. Okay, there's not one grand story that's the framework through which we interpret and understand the world around us. Everybody has their own story, and there's no unifying meta-narrative here. But following from relativism, okay, is moral relativism, right? No moral absolutes. Okay, and from there comes the new tolerance. Okay, traditional tolerance says we disagree, okay, but I'm not going to throw you in jail over it, all right? But I'm going to do all I can to persuade you, because I think your position is incorrect, and I'm pretty sure you're going to do the same with me. And we'll see, based on who presents the best reasons and the best facts, you know, who's got the truth here. The new tolerance is everybody's right, nobody's wrong. It's intolerant. It's racist, it's bigoted to say a person's values or belief systems is wrong, okay? And often you got Matthew 7 thrown at you, right? Judge not, lest you be judged, okay? Used incorrectly, okay? Then we have radical individualism, okay? All forms of individualism are not bad. Okay? Our government is designed to protect our individual rights, okay? But radical individualism, okay, that's swinging too far the other way, all right? And that flows out of, okay, the, you know, postmodern or the end of modernism, relativism that's out there, okay? And radical individualism says what an individual wills or wants is the highest good, Okay, and it is wrong to tell someone that his or her choices or beliefs may be wrong, dangerous, or immoral. All right, so an emphasis is on the individual rights. Okay, there it's given a rise to an understanding of the individual that is liberated from all forms of laws, ethics, and duties. Okay, the greatest sin, or in many cases, the only sin, is judging someone else. Okay, so in previous generations, the thinking was, you know, what's best for the family or the community, all right? Not individual-centered, okay, as it is quickly moving now. Then we have the sexual revolution, right, of the 60s. If it feels good, do it. It threw off the, quote, Puritan ethic and embraced the idea that our bodies are our own and we have the right to do with it whatever we want. No one has the right to tell me what to do with my body, okay? And when I'm on the political talk show, 808 State Update, and a guest brings up the topic, you know, sex, I'm the only one. I get bombarded by all these phone calls saying I can do whatever I want in my body. I've slept with over 100 women, and I'm fine. You know, I've slept with 100 men, and I'm fine. You know, all this, and it becomes a bastion, you know, against anyone who believes in biblical marriage and the sanctity of, you know, sex within the boundaries of marriage, okay? And then radical feminism, okay? The first wave of feminism was good, right? It was a campaign to liberate women from an overly restrictive concept of gender so they could, you know, be freer to fulfill, okay, their nature and in the culture we are in, okay? However, okay, radical feminism goes to the other extreme, all right? Our culture has swung the other way, denying the importance that there are differences between men and women, okay? And radical feminism teaches, really, there are no differences, right, between male and female, okay? The big push, 50% in the military, right? Should be 50% men, 50% women, all right? And we should lower the standards if we have to get that ratio, because whatever a man can do, a woman can do, okay? Whatever a man can do, they're the same. There's nothing different between these two, all right? And the result is a culture of androgyny and confusion, okay? and when we separated gender from biological sex, that continues to contribute to the confusion that is out there. I was kicked out of a camp not too far from here a few years ago, a Christian camp of a major denomination. And one of the reasons I got kicked out is I said men and women are different, okay? And the pastors gathered till 4 a.m. deciding whether they should. And that wasn't my sermon, okay? Someone just asked me a question. I said, wherever Christianity has gone, it has liberated women around the world. It has exalted the status of women all over the world, okay? And someone asked the question, well, what about this passage? Women should be silent in the church or whatever. So I said, okay, there's several interpretations. Here's what I present, okay? But you'll study it on your own. That's all I said, okay? And then someone else said, are you saying men and women are different? I said, yeah, men and women are equal in nature. They're different. Just look at their, you know, biology. And everyone in the audience said, no way. They said, absolutely not. And I said, okay. I said, if we took the clothes off of a man and a woman and they stood right here, you could see they're different. And everybody said, no, no way. They said, you are a bigot, you are a chauvinist, you are a pig. You know, and I said, okay. I said, so if we had two naked, a man and a woman, you wouldn't see it? They said, no. And I said, okay, I guess I'm not going to get anywhere with you folks then. I said, if you can't honestly answer me that, we're not going to get anywhere. So they had I said, I'm going to move on, okay? So we moved on. But that night, they had the pastors were talking to 4 a.m., whether they want to keep me or throw me out of the conference, okay? Of course, I've never been invited back and things, but that's radical feminism, okay? It says men and women are the same. Okay, there's no difference there. They've eliminated that, all right? Now, all this means that in our post-Christian, postmodern culture, there are two unforgivable sins, right? The first is to judge someone else, okay? And the second is to fail to fulfill your desires or not to grant someone what they want. Okay? Ryan Anderson, the author of the book that I referred to quite a bit, he says, a postmodern worldview is changing medicine from a profession that restores health and wholeness into a set of techniques to provide customers with what they desire. It is eroding the very foundations of objectivity and sound medical practice. As McHugh observes, without any fixed position on what is given in human nature, any manipulation of it can be defended as legitimate. Okay, so it has tremendous ramifications in medicine and in actually all arenas of the culture that we'll see. And he goes on to say, policymakers and the media are doing no favors either to the public or the transgendered by treating their confusions as a right in need of defending rather than as a mental disorder that deserves understanding, treatment, and prevention. Okay, now there are some key issues that are arising out of this. The myth that what I do to my own body doesn't affect anyone else is incorrect. Okay, there's tremendous ramifications for all of us, all right? First is privacy interests, all right? Men who identify as women can enter into female spaces, all right? So if you identify as a woman, you can go into the women's locker room, okay? And that presents some safety concerns as predators can abuse this whole gender identity to enter into places only allowed access to women, okay? When I was on the North Shore, we were going to a zip line, and the bathroom, the sign, you couldn't see. I was coming in from the wrong angle, so you couldn't see. And so I went into the bathroom that was there, and I didn't notice that there were, you know, no urinals. I just went in because I was a little late and I had, you know, I just ran in quick. Then I heard women voices coming in and I realized I was in the wrong bathroom. So what was I going to do? Well, our names are being called. They're like, check in, Pat, check in. So do I just come out and say, well, I feel like a woman, so hey. Or do I... You know, so I just kind of just stood in there and waited and waited and waited. And my name is being called over the loudspeaker. And finally, it was empty and I dashed out of there. I made my escape. All right. But that's a genuine concern, right? That men or boys who identify as girls will enter into the girl locker rooms, okay? Or women bathrooms. Okay, equality concerns. We see that in athletics now. Biological males can compete against the females in sports and other arenas where they identify as a woman, all right? We're not seeing women competing against the men. Mostly it's going the other way, all right? In Arizona, there's a 6'5" man, 50-year-old man who always wanted to play collegiate basketball, and he wasn't quite good enough. Well, now he has fulfilled his dream on the women's basketball team, and he's just absolutely dominating, okay? You have a man there in New Zealand who has been setting all kinds of weightlifting records in their weight class as a woman. Here you have a 6 foot, just this past, I think he's in here in California. He's 6 feet tall, racing track as a woman. Okay, and he's just clobbering everything, setting all kinds of records in the state. You have this girl who is in a sex transition stage, so she's taking a lot of testosterone, steroids, and so she's unusually strong, and she's whooped up on all the girls there in the state championship, okay, and they're complaining that she has an unfair advantage, okay, taking all these steroids, and she's way stronger than the girls. And then you have this man competing in rugby who is literally crushing the opponents there, okay? But you have those issues and many others, okay? We have liberty interests, okay? When people now are forced to speak or act in ways contrary to their best judgment and deeply held beliefs. Okay, so now, pretty soon, things that I'm teaching today can be illegal or protested against. Our university that I teach at, or a Christian university there in Hawaii, okay, we're dealing with this issue right now, all right, and the accreditation industry and all wants to take away our accreditation and all of that and hopefully shut us down unless we accept transgender, you know, as a norm, okay? Medical insurance. In May of 2016, the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Health and Human Services announced that a ban on sex discrimination, okay, and sex transformation operations, okay, healthcare providers are required to cover gender reassignment surgeries, all right? And in the military, okay, we were debating that until Trump finally nixed it, but soldiers that want sex transformation surgeries, the government will have to pay for it, all right? And after a surgery, you can't serve in the military because of your body and the operations for 4 years, all right? So 4 years, you'll be out of commission, okay, until perhaps you can serve again, all right? It changes the whole medical practice. How do doctors diagnose a patient now? How do you diagnose a patient? As their gender or their biology, okay? How do you diagnose a patient? Okay, and it's going to affect pharmacists as well. How do you prescribe medications? As the gender they want or their biology? Okay, and as you pharmacists and those of you in the medical field know, right, medications have different effects on male and female. So how do you prescribe it? All right, so you got a lot of ramifications here, okay? Driver's license, all right? Massachusetts, California, Hawaii, numerous other states, how do you identify the gender? Okay, and they are proposing, right, putting X, okay, on the gender, okay? Or A, androgynous, or others. There's about five or six other labels being prescribed here. What are you going to put on passports then, you know? What about countries that don't accept transgender identities? I mean, so there's a whole lot of ramifications here, not just for individuals, but the culture as a whole. Counseling, all right? Those of you in the counseling who are teachers as well, okay? It's being legislated what psychiatrists and psychologists and school counselors can say and do in counseling, right? In many states now, all right? The bill hasn't passed, but it's already being treated as a law that you cannot counsel a child out of starting the sex transformation process. If a 10-year-old boy comes in and says, I feel like a girl, I want to start going through the process, you can't sit there and say, no, let's wait on this a few years, okay? Why don't you wait in 10 years and see how you feel, okay? You can no longer counsel like that anymore. Psychologists, psychiatrists, school counselors, and it may start, you know, affecting how, you know, churches, okay, and those who want to do biblical counseling, it's going to affect what you can say, okay, to those who come in with these struggles. We're going to have educational issues, all right, concerns about confusing messages that school children will receive when they are taught that gender is fluid, okay, and it falls along a spectrum and is easily detached from your biological makeup, okay? Children are the most vulnerable, all right, and where there is gender dysphoria or gender confusion, it usually happens in the teen years, right, and to be teaching them from a young age, okay, that gender is fluid, it's different from your biology, continues to, is going to send a confusing message to our young people. Already, we have the gender-bred man, all right, whose the curriculum is already in our schools, okay, teaching, all right, that gender is fluid. Or we have the gender unicorn. Okay, you'll see these posters up around elementary schools now, already teaching gender is fluid. Okay? So those are some of the issues that are going on right now. Now, what's God's blueprint? Okay, now this is the most controversial part of the talk. Okay, I've been thrown out of a lot of churches and conferences for what I'm going to say in the next few minutes. Okay, so we shall proceed. Okay, all right. Okay, I remember talking to a group of angry women, and I forgot. They started to hiss and boo, and I said, "Hey, ye who is without sin, cast the first stone," or something like that. I was just joking. And they looked and they said, "Yeah, we shouldn't stone the guy, but it doesn't say anything about tomatoes, you know." So anyway, all right. Here's my position, and I think it's the biblical position here. Male and female are not artificial categories. They're part of the image of God, the very image of God. He created them. Genesis chapter 2 says, He created them male and female. That's part of the very image of God. Your gender identity, okay, is part of the image of God. Okay, your image of God is not just your immaterial soul and spirit. Okay, the physical body and the gender is part of the very image of God. And the two are not identical or interchangeable. Okay? That's part of God's design. Okay? And the differences go all the way down, okay, to your body chemistry, your brain structure, your cell structure. It's more than just the outside. Okay? So it's not only anatomy, but chemistry, emotions, thinking. Okay? In many ways, we're designed to be different. Okay? We're made different to complement each other to fulfill, okay, our God-given task in this world. Okay? And the cultural mandate, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over fish and sea and over birds of the heavens and over everything living that moves upon the earth. Okay? In order to fulfill that mission, it requires male and female. You can't do it without male and female in the covenant of marriage. Okay, it's not possible. All right. So my position, okay, is that God has created men and women equal in nature but different. Okay, they are different and they complement one another. And our differences extend to our deepest levels of our being, our very chromosomes. Okay, brains, voices, body shapes, body strengths. Reproductive systems were designed to be different, okay? Even if I change the outside, the Y doesn't become an X, okay? God has designed us, okay, to be different, male and female. That's part of the image of God, and that's something we can't change, all right? So although different in function, both are equal in worth. And our design is tied to the very mission that God has called us to fulfill and for us to experience all that God wants us to experience, the joy and the meaning and all that life is meant to be. It's to follow God's design for each individual and the mission He has created for us. And for a child to know, okay, the healthiest structure for a child to be born in is one man, one woman. Okay, understanding there's a difference between fathering and mothering. The value of understanding, the value of a man, the value of a woman. They need to know both father and mother. Okay? Jesus affirms, okay, the genders, male and female, that there's only two. Okay? There's not seven or eight. Only two. All right. When asked about divorce, he affirms, okay, that there are two sexes. Okay, male and female. He affirms that male and female are created in the image of God, that marriage is between a man and woman, okay, and there's no sexual or marital relationship other than the biblical model that God instituted, a man and a woman. And sex, then, is reserved only for those in the bond of marriage. Okay, when he rebuked the woman caught in adultery, she was in relations with a man, not her husband, he said, go and sin no more. Right? The Samaritan woman living with a man who was not her husband, okay, Jesus confronted her on that. All right? Now, the biblical critique then of gender dysphoria, it's a result, you know, of the fall. The struggle is real, okay, and it's painful. But just because one feels the struggle doesn't mean you should feed it or encourage it. Okay, to indulge or live out one's fallen desire, it does not bring peace in one's life. I think it makes it worse. Okay, and surveys show those who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not report higher levels of happiness. Okay, so it's not a sinful to struggle with the issue, but it's a sin when we act upon it. Okay, if someone struggles with committing suicide, right, we don't feed that desire. Okay, if someone wants to sleep, you know, has a desire to sleep with a child, you know, we don't feed that desire. Okay, you know, Okinawans, right, we're hot-blooded, right, and so we don't feed that desire, right, we do all we can to steer you into a more, you know, healthy way, okay, to deal with those issues. The struggle may be exacerbated by cultural norms. You know, boys play football, girls are in the arts, all right? I remember at our college retreat that I spoke at, you know, the good news is that the young people are more open to talk about these kinds of stuff, okay? The bad news is they're more open to talk about this kind of stuff. In other words, they treat it as norm, like, yeah, so what? And I had two guys come up to me and said, one said, I'm gay. And the other one said, I think I'm a woman, you know? And they said in front of everybody, you know, they were like, so, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's talk about that. So we were outside. I said, what makes you think you're gay or you're a woman? He said, well, I don't like basketball. I don't like the sports. I'd rather hang out and do music, do art. I said, so? I mean, you're gay. I mean, you're a girl. You're a very artsy guy. Praise the Lord, you know, and stuff. And he was like, oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, well, I mean, a stereotype is what? A man gets in a cage and puts on a glove and fights MMA, right? But I said, that's a cultural thing, okay? I mean, look in the Old Testament. God gifted several men, right, in the arts and in music, okay, for worship of the Lord and the design of the tabernacle, okay? You're just an artsy guy, okay? Gender is part of God's blueprint, okay, and it cannot be changed, okay, and numerous studies are showing that. Here's a top psychiatrist, probably the top guy in the world, Dr. Paul McHugh from Johns Hopkins University. Remember this name because he's been speaking out on this for years, all right, courageously, and he's not a Christian, okay, I don't think he is, he's been speaking out on this for years, saying, you know, the data is, you really can't argue with the data out there, okay, that you can't just transform a man into a woman or vice versa, all right? He has been, ridiculed, persecuted, but has courageously just continues to present the evidence here. And he says this, transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. All become feminized men or masculinized women, counterfeits or impersonators of the sex with which they identify. Tom Renke, the author here, says, chromosomes cannot be re-engineered, removed, or scrubbed from the software of our bodies. It may be possible for a trans woman to pass for a woman on the street at the visual level, but it's not possible for a man to morph himself into a biological woman with all the experiences and functions of natural femaleness. The biological narrative doesn't exist. While medical advances make it possible to suppress or change some of the outward appearances of our bodies and change our patterns of speech and dress, it is not possible to raise our bodies to the ground and rebuild them without shortcutting all the essential formative experiences that make the biological sex expression and gender authentic. Hey, Dr. Paul Mayhew has done several follow-up studies on sex-transformed adults. And he's realized that there's really no psychological benefits there. The results show that most did not appear to have benefited psychologically. They thought it would bring more peace, more joy into their lives. They ended up having the same struggles. Okay? And he ended up concluding, okay, that sex change surgery was bad medicine and was fundamentally cooperating with a mental illness. All right? Now, in American Psychiatric Association, the gender dysphoria is still, okay, a medical illness. Working very hard to change that status, but as of now, it's still a mental illness. Okay? And what Paul McHugh is saying is that we are encouraging, okay, a mental illness and encouraging people down a dangerous path here. He writes, psychiatrists could better help patients with gender dysphoria by trying to fix their minds and not their genitalia. Ryan Anderson says, transition treatment has not been shown to reduce the extraordinarily high rate of suicide attempts among people who identify as transgender. In fact, people who have had transition surgery are 19 times more likely than average to die by suicide. And McHugh writes, we have wasted scientific and technical resources and damaged our professional credibility by collaborating with madness rather than trying to study, cure, and ultimately prevent it. Then we have Professor Miroslav Georgievic. Okay? He performs about 100 sex change surgeries every year, and he laments over the growing number and lack of research on transgender people changing their minds and undergoing surgery reversal. All right? And he's saying there's many patients who do not need this procedure, okay, or should not have it. All right? In fact, what's most disconcerting to him is that in the last 20 years, the average age of his patients has dropped from 45 to 21. Okay? And this is 2 years ago. And he's expecting it to get lower and lower and lower into the teenage years. Okay? Walt Hare, a former transgender person, says the well-respected surgeon Miroslav Georgievic and the psychotherapist James Caspian are discovering what I have known all along. Regret and detransitions are on the rise because too many gender-affirming surgeries are performed on people who do not need them. Now, the majority of psychiatrists, okay, the majority have stated 90% of their cases of children or teenagers coming in saying, I think I'm a girl, I want to change my sex. The majority of them, they say, if you just wait it out, if you just tell them, just wait a few years on this, most of them, he say, end up growing out of it, okay? Most young children and teenagers may be uncomfortable with their bodies, okay? And he says, you know, that's not too uncommon in the teen and child years. Okay, you exacerbate it by the kind of curriculum we're teaching now, right? But he says, in the proper kind of encouragement, if you just wait it out, eventually, okay, most young people, over 90% of them, end up growing out of it and becoming comfortable, okay, with the sex they are. Okay, high school is, you know, one of the times where you face the most peer pressure, right, and take a gender-confused child out of that particular situation and in a situation that may be more encouraging, I mean, allow him to receive, you know, good, more healthy, encouraging kind of environment. A lot of them just end up growing out of it, they say, okay? Well, what is the Christian response, okay? Well, first of all, we want to love those who are struggling with this issue, okay? Dignity, all people are made in the image of God, should be treated with the highest dignity and respect. Okay? To love someone means working hard to empathize with them. Okay? Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. So to empathize means to try to see things from their perspective as much as possible, not to dismiss it as, you know, weird or alien. Okay? Truth, though, we are to present the truth in love, okay? Today, speaking truth is quickly labeled hate speech, right? But if we accept the authority of the Bible, we've got to understand that affirming people on a path that goes against God's teaching, okay, may be the most unloving thing to do, okay? So if I'm affirming and encouraging transgenderism, I'm actually, according to God's word, doing what is not loving. I'm withholding the truth, okay, because I'm valuing my reputation, okay, or my comfort more than I value the welfare of the person that I am talking to, okay? And always, you know, we cannot be condescending or dismissive, but to approach those struggling with this issue, it's a real painful struggle, okay, with humility, okay? The church needs to be a safe place to talk about gender dysphoria, okay? Our young people who are struggling with this shouldn't be afraid to approach their disciple leader, their youth pastor, youth worker, with the struggle that they're facing, okay? James says what? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, to be listening communities, to hear the struggle that they're going through. Patience, willing to come alongside these families and walk along their side in this long haul. You got to be patient. This is a long, long journey that we're willing to say, hey, we'll come alongside, okay, and walk with you through this struggle. Okay? And as I've been teaching throughout this week, we want to be communities of grace, but grace always is partnered with truth, right? Grace and truth go hand in hand, okay? All right, that's a lot of information I presented real quickly. any questions on what we covered so far or on this issue? Yes? Yeah, okay. The one I mentioned at the beginning, you can go to our website, Evidence and Answers. Listen to my interviews with Glenn Stanton and a psychiatrist named Garrett Hallweg. Okay? But a book I really like is When Harry Became Sally. Okay, it's not written from a Christian perspective, but that guy gives a lot of good facts, and a lot of stuff I refer to come from there. Okay? When Harry Became Sally. Another good one, I think, if you want to, from a Christian perspective, is God and the Transgender Debate. That's another pretty good one. Yeah. Okay. All right. Any others? Yes?
You mentioned that the church should be a safe place for young people to come and discuss their problems. But we need to be trained how to deal with these people that come. Now, what would be the best way to do that?
Correct. Okay. Church needs to be a safe place for young people to come and talk through their struggles, okay? But we need to be trained in how to deal with those issues. Correct. What are some ways to get trained? Well, Evidence and Answers, great place to listen to these dialogues, okay? Books I recommended, okay, are very good, okay? there are seminars focus on the family, okay? Glenn Stanton does seminars around the country that are very good, okay? Most of all, a lot of what young people need, right, is just someone that's going to listen to them and enter into that struggle with them, right? Often that's what they're looking for. And if they just have an adult, you know, an older, wise adult whom they respect, is willing to, you know, sit down and listen to them and walk through this struggle with them. Often, that is, you know, the best. Counseling, I mean, what happens in counseling? You go in there for an hour and go, okay, what do you need? Okay, do this. I'll see you next month, okay? Or see you next week, okay? That's pretty good. But see, what's better, I think, is the biblical method of discipleship, right? Where we say, you're struggling with this? Let's go fishing together. Let's go talk about this, okay? And you come together and you listen and you model, you know, biblical grace and truth in front of this individual and start working with them through the issues. And you'll be surprised how much you can actually help a young person who is kind of going through these struggles and stuff, you're probably, if you're willing to sit down and listen and take the time, you probably can do a lot to help a young person through. Yeah, but the more information you got on this, yeah, the more effective you're going to be. So yeah, there's some great books coming out there now. The hard part is that it is now being labeled racism, bigotry, and so a lot of the professors, Zucker, North Carolina, has been kicked out of his post. McHugh, they're trying to shut down his work at Johns Hopkins University and others. And research that's coming out is being suppressed now as they seek political power. And once you make it a civil rights issue, anyone who's going to present anything contrary is going to really take a beating and persecute it, and just, they're going to want to shut them down. So get the information now while it's out there, okay? Because you're going to find it harder and harder to get if we keep going in this direction. Yes?
Can you talk about the slide just prior, the transgender argument?
What? Oh. Which one you want?
I don't know. Whatever you have time.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Jesus never mentions homosexuality or transgenderism. Well, that's an argument from silence, okay? And that's generally not a good argument. Jesus doesn't mention anything against pedophilia. So is that okay? Jesus doesn't mention anything against wife beating. All right, so is that okay? You know, the argument from silence is not a good argument, okay? In fact, you can build a case that if this issue were around, you know, Jesus would uphold that there's only two genders, male and female, okay, from the evidence we have, from his teachings, you know, and the Old Testament. Let's see. Should I keep my kids in public schools that promotes transgenderism? Okay, that's a decision you and your husband are going to have to make as a family. But as always, you've got to be involved in your child's education, okay? Don't say, all right, you're in school, okay, good, school's going to take care of you, all right? No, you have got to be involved. And where you can, be salt and light. In schools where they're teaching this, perhaps you can approach the appropriate faculty with a group of parents and say, can we dismiss our child from sex ed class or whatever? When this comes up, can we have our child study this curriculum instead or whatever? But you've got to be involved, okay, in your child's education, whether public or even private school, okay? What if my child says that they are the opposite sex? Well, psychiatrists, psychologists, and there's some in here, I am pretty sure, okay? The vast majority say that if you just tell the child to wait it out, okay, instead of saying, oh, you're a girl, okay, let's start the transgender transformation part now, okay, let's get you on the estrogen or the testosterone pills. Instead of doing that, just find out what's going on, why is there gender confusion, absent dad, abusive mom, I mean, what's going on here, okay? something we can work on here, and have them wait it out. The vast majority of the times, they tend to grow out of it and eventually become comfortable, you know, with their biological sex. Okay? Any other questions?
Can you talk about the I was born this way one?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no proof, okay? We've never found the gay gene, okay? The LaVey studies of the brain have failed, right? The Ballard-Bailey-Pillard twin study has failed. Anyway, all the studies on the gay gene and all that have pretty much failed, okay? So I was born this way, or, you know, God made me this way. Right now, it's not an argument being used in the gay community, you know, or the transgender community, okay? Because they haven't been able to find scientifically, medically, the gay gene or whatever that makes you gay. All right? So there's no evidence of that. But even if we could, okay, even if we could find it, okay, that goes against God's design. We're fallen beings, okay, and we're born with tendencies that are positive but negative as well, okay? I mean, Zukarans are born angry men, okay? I mean, just everybody's angry in the Zukaran clan, all right? You should see when they lose a softball game or something, all right? Well, just because we're born that way, we don't feed that and say, well, you're born angry. Ah, go beat up John or whatever, you know. We do everything we can to try and correct it and get you, you know, to handle it in a healthy way. We know there are things like cocaine babies, right? Babies born addicted to cocaine, right? We know that, okay? Do we say, well, okay, so cocaine is legal for you, you know, go at it. No, we do all we can to try and steer you in a healthier direction. So even if we could, okay, we've never been able to prove it. Even if we're born with a predisposition that way, you don't, you know, feed a dangerous lifestyle or, you know, an illness. You do all you can to try and correct that situation, get them to deal with it in a healthy way as possible. But we've never been able to prove, whether gays or transgenders, that you're born this way. You're a woman born in a man's body or whatever. You're a man born in a woman's body. Okay, we've never been able to prove that scientifically or medically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes?
Can you address the last one, the intersex people? Because intersex really is an XXY chromosome, correct?
Correct. Okay, that one we have proof on. Okay, we have empirical scientific proof that there's XXY, and there's a biological issue here. Transgenderism is different. Okay, there's not a chromosome deficiency or malfunction there. You're born boy or girl, clearly. Okay, and you're dealing with mental issues. This one, hermaphrodites or whatever, yeah, you clearly got a biological flaw there that we're dealing with. And as has been done for many years now, the best way to treat it has been to find out which one you're most close to, whether male or female, and steer you in that direction. Okay, there's a Hollywood actress, another famous athlete, I forget their names. I can see their face. Huh?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, born that way. She was more on the feminine side, so they steered her in that direction. Okay, that seems to be the healthiest way to deal with that issue of the hermaphrodites. Not saying, well, why don't you try being a boy for 1 year? Then next year, try being a girl. And then, you know, androgynous. And then, you know, instead of teaching them it's fluid, you know, the best results has been, let's see what you're most closely like, and we'll steer you and move you in that direction. Yeah, but this is a biological flaw here as a result of the fall. That's different from someone that's born, you know, XX and XY, and it's up here. Yeah, so it's actually a different argument. Uh-huh. Yes, one more? Okay, so, oh, yes. Yes. Right.
They will not go to church for fear of being judged and mistreated. How would you make them feel respected, acknowledged, validated?
Yeah. Unfortunately, right? Unfortunately, many will, we Christians have been guilty not only with transgender debate, but with the homosexuality, homeless, and other issues. Okay, we have not always been the best equipped, right, and ready to treat them, you know, as the Bible says. So the best I can say, you know, is, you know, as parents to say, you know, God loves you. We understand the struggle you're in, and we're willing to walk with you through the struggle. This is what, you know, the Bible teaches, and we understand. There's a very deep and painful struggle here, and we're willing to walk with you through it in accordance, you know, with God's word. Now, there will be people who don't understand you, who don't understand your struggle, you know, not only in church, but in school and in other places, okay? but I think the best is when, you know, they have you know, the parents' support to say it's okay to struggle with this and we'll be in the struggle with you. Then to let some of the leaders in your church, you know, understand. A lot of us don't like to ask, right, for help in the church. Yeah, but in my experience, the vast majority of pastors and elders out there, the vast majority, if you go up to them and say, we're struggling with, my child's struggling with this issue, most of them want to help you and are more than willing to step out and say, well, thanks for letting us know, man, and they will be more than willing to come alongside, you know, and be with you if you have that talk with them, just like you shared with me here. I think the vast majority of pastors and elders would come alongside you there. And remember, right, you know, when I was playing football, right, I'm playing football, you got the opponents all screaming and yelling at you, right, and stuff, you know, you stink, you're going to drop the ball, right, and there's one voice, the coach, yelling amongst all those screaming and yelling, saying, you know, you stink, you're going to get hit, you're going to get hurt, little man, you know. And I remember I was getting frazzled because, you know, all these guys are taunting me and, you know, I'm yelling back at them and all that and all this. When I came on the sideline, the coach grabbed my face mask and he said, everyone's yelling and screaming at you. There's one voice you need to listen to and focus on. That's mine, okay? And don't listen to anybody else. You just listen for my voice. And I'm the only guy you listen to, all right? That was great advice. And it's kind of like what Christ is saying. There's a lot of idiots out there. And unfortunately, a lot of us are in the church, right? But there's one voice we got to listen to, right? That really only matters. That's the voice of Christ and the wise men and women. And there will be a bunch of them in the church that God has put in there. You listen to them, okay? You tell your kids, you listen to these guys, all right? Okay, fantastic. Let's close in prayer together. And we're off to lunch. Thank you, Lord, that we could address this tough issue. We pray for those who are struggling with this issue, who are friends, family members, children who are struggling with this issue. Help us to be wise, to be men and women of integrity, who stand for truth with humility and grace, that we may walk through these struggles with our friends, with our family members, and with our children, Lord. And we pray that many here would receive help and healing and restoration through the power of your Holy Spirit, your word, and the ministry of your people, Lord. We pray this would provide opportunities to demonstrate your love through your people, Lord, and that many would be healed from this struggle, Lord. We pray all this for them in Jesus' name. Amen.